Pete Rose logged more hits in baseball history than anyone else. No one has come close to breaking his record. But he was also at the center of one of the game's biggest scandals, a scandal that changed baseball forever. In the new book, Charlie Hustle, New York Times bestselling author Keith O'Brien chronicles Pete Rose's spectacular rise and fall. Drawing on firsthand interviews with Rose himself and his associates, this is Pete Rose as we've never seen him before. By Charlie Hustle, available wherever books are sold.
Probably did hate mail, or we thought it was hate at the time, because these guys are trying to take away our dreams.
The Football Pod Live,
Thursday, June 2nd in Castlebar.
Check out otbsports.com/events
and get your tickets now.
OTB AM with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
Mark Lawrence, and good morning to you. How are you?
I'm all good, thank you. You?
I'm okay.
Good.
I'm wondering what you think the difference between the two teams in the end was on Saturday night.
The goalkeeper. If Liverpool had played the same way as Madrid and won the 1-0, we'd be waxing lyrically about, you know, how good they were defensively, the goalkeeper and all those kind of things. So I'll get all that, you know, and Madrid, they won it, good luck to them, but they were battered. They were taken apart, weren't they? I mean, the goalkeepers, some of the saves the goalkeeper was making were unbelievable, and just one of those things, I'm afraid. Sometimes the best team doesn't actually win the big games.
Is there anything that will give Jurgen Klopp some pause for consideration about what he does into the future? Is there anything you can do when you come up against a team who are as gifted as Real Madrid in terms of their playing personnel, but who are also so tactically, is it astute to decide you're going to defend and just be very strong defensively? I don't know how astute that is. Like, it's
fairly basic. It's easy to do that. But I mean, it's and I get that. But I mean, the number of times Liverpool got in was just mad. But if you think about a final, there are relatively few clear-cut chances. Liverpool had lots. And you'd expect Jurgen Klopp must have analysed that over the weekend and kind of thought, you know, how on earth did we not score? You can't go on there and actually score for your team, can you? So they've not suddenly become a bad team. They just couldn't score. And, you know, I previewed the game the other day and I was just saying about Madrid, which was, when you look at them, you know, Chelsea should have beaten them, PSG should have beaten them, City should have beaten them, Liverpool should have beaten them. We all know that. But sometimes, you know, your name's on it. And I just think that's exactly what it is with Real Madrid. And you don't have to go and look into too many kind of footballing reasons why. It's just the name was on it. And, you know, the centre-forward who's been brilliant doesn't have a shot at goal. So their plan worked perfectly. But just frustrated from Liverpool's point of view, because they should have won that comfortably. I think if they'd have scored one, they'd have scored two or three. But it is what it is.
Yeah, it did feel that way. It did feel like they were so dominant, particularly in that first half, where the shot was just not dropping and the opportunity wasn't just going in.
Mm.
How deflating is a defeat like this in terms of the longer term plans? I mean, it's great.
No,
you just blink it away.
Well, I won't say you blink it away. I mean, they will analyse it, but no, because you know, in that competition, I really do believe Liverpool have been the outstanding team, and they've cruised through everything in all the games. They had that really iffy first half against Villarreal, and then reacted, which is a sign of a good team anyway. I don't think Klopp will take too long to analyse that, and he's lost in finals before, as we all know, and I don't think he's even that kind of person, which is, you know, oh, we should have done this, we should have done that. He's very much, look, we did so many things right. We just, actually, the hardest thing in the game is scoring, and we just couldn't manage it. But I just go back to the fact they made so many chances that, you know, you think you at least would have scored one goal to take it into extra time. So, great for Real Madrid. Mind you, I listened to what I saw the interview that Perez gave. I mean, what the hell is he talking about him? He's like, he's on a different planet, him.
I missed that. What was he saying?
Well, he was saying, well, you know, we know all about Liverpool and that, and Manchester City, because now they can afford to buy, you know, the best players. They've got all this money. Well, hold on a minute. T- didn't Real Madrid used to buy all the best players, you know, and that was, I just thought it was really, really petty. But I think that's part of the not having the European League, because, you know, he was obviously one of the great, not great, but one of the leaders in that and trying to get this European competition up and running. And I think he's got the massive hump with all the English teams because obviously they all pulled out. So, but he was talking absolute, well, it begins with B and ends in S and it's eight letters.
He said effort, self-improvement, respect, humility and solidarity is what underpins this Real Madrid success. Of course, yeah. All the characteristics of Florentino Perez.
Listen, this is the Real Madrid that the Spanish FA bought the training ground off for a massively inflated fee. Massively inflated to keep them alive. So I'm absolutely totally not having him, really, at all. I like the manager and I like they got some outstanding players, but I'm not having Perez. He's up himself.
He probably feels a little bit put out by the Mbappe situation a couple of weeks ago as well. So he's like, yeah. Screw you, Paris. Yeah. I came and I got what I really wanted.
Well, good luck to him. But I mean, you know, Mbappe's allowed, he's allowed to change his mind. I mean, and his deal he's got at PSG, not just the money, but it looks like he might even be choosing the next manager or the way they play and all those kind of things, which is mad, by the way, to give that to one of your players. But there you go. But yeah, look, you know, he said to Madrid in the end, I'm not coming. And Perez, obviously, he can't be beaten, can he? He's one of those guys. You cannot beat him. He's going to have the last word, and good luck to him.
It seems that this Real Madrid team is like the crankiest team ever, potentially. And as a club, they're extremely cranky. Like you mentioned, the Perez stuff there, the guy who's always got to have the final word. Like even Courtois afterwards saying that he needed to win on Saturday because I don't think I have enough respect, especially in England. Like you have the disagreement between Toni Kroos and the German reporter afterwards. He feels that he was being asked a question that was too negative. It feels that, I'm not sure is this deliberate or not, but it just feels that this Real Madrid squad have a group of people who have a mentality about them where it's us against the world.
Yeah, which works in football. We've seen it on many, many occasions. And I think, you know, for Kroos and Modric, you know, coming towards the end of their careers and obviously proving a point. I think the thing with the goalkeeper, that was just, I don't know who voted for that. Whether it was the top 10, was it top 10 goalkeepers either in the Premier League or Europe or whatever, and he wasn't in it, which is wrong anyway, because he's always been a very, very good goalkeeper. So, obviously it fueled them and it worked. And he said, didn't he, before the game, Courtois said something about, you know, we are Real Madrid and we always win. And he absolutely, totally, he backed it up and he was right, wasn't he?
Do you see any commonality between Liverpool's performance on Saturday and maybe the failure to score goals in the two other cup finals this season?
No. And I'm not, I mean, the cup finals notoriously are extremely tight, aren't they? I think the only thing with Liverpool, you might say, in the last, shall we say, the last kind of quarter of the season, one or two of them started to look a little bit leggy. I mean, have they played something in the region of 60-odd games? Have you played every single one? So regardless of, you know, diet, you know, training, travel, all those kind of things, eventually, it does catch up with you a little bit, but we thought Klopp sort of overcame that because, you know, we know he's got 20 players, and even there's cover for everybody. And you know, if you shout at me like Trent Alexander-Arnold, and I say, well, Joe Gomez played right back and actually played really, really well, so you might say he's got cover there, but everywhere else he's got cover. Maybe they just got a little bit leggy, and also, you know, a little bit of expectation. Then this is the real chance to actually win the quadruple, which looks to me like I don't think it's ever going to be done. So, no, not really. I don't. You know, you look at the season, and I've seen most of the games live as well. They've been outstanding. They really, seriously have. And just at the end, they've started to look a little bit tired. I mean, if I sat here with Klopp, he'd probably like slaughter me saying that's not true. But they have done. I mean, Salah started to look a bit tired towards the end. Jota and one or two others, and it just didn't work for them. But if you started the season, you know, just go back to our days, and you know, obviously four competitions that we were always in, fortunately. And our boot room guys would say to us, you know, if you win something, one thing, we take it now. And the rest was an absolute bonus. And people used to think, oh, well, what are you going to win this year? And we went, no, it doesn't work that way, because three of the competitions are cup competitions, aren't they? And obviously it's the league. I think the league's always the important one, because that's, you know, the true thing about the length of the season, the games, the travel, all those injuries, all those kind of things. But, I mean, they've won two competitions. And I watched a little bit of Sky and they were saying, oh, well, does that mean it's not a particularly good season? And I'm thinking, like, really? They've won two competitions and out of four and it's not a good season? No, that's absolute rubbish.
I also think that, like, they went to the very end. Like, you know, any season where you're still in it with half an hour to go in the league and half an hour to go in the Champions League, like, that's an amazing achievement. And if football's only about victory, then that's not really the whole point of football.
No. Listen, I'm pretty sure that'll be the first time ever that they played in every single game they could possibly play in. And that's as you rightly say, that's a feat in itself. So, no, I think it's like heads high and stuff. The only probably, excuse me, the cloud on the horizon now is Marnie going to Bayern Munich? And what's happening with salary? He's saying, I'll still be here next season. But does he mean he's there and he's just going to see his last season out and clear off somewhere else? So there's an important few weeks coming up with Liverpool, I think.
If that does happen, cause it probably looks more likely than not that Mane will go at this stage, and it looks more likely than not that Salah will run his contract down and try and do what Mbappe has just done. And, you know, if you were advising him, you'd probably advise him to do that. So what does that mean from Klopp's perspective? Does he try and convince Mane to stay for one last season and say, look, you're going to be going to the World Cup. We know what you're like. We're going to be able to manage you either side of that. Yeah. You know, you trust us because we've done that before with the AFCON. So, or do you go, okay, I've got to take the 25 million or whatever money they offer. And then, you know, we've been good at recycling and Luis Diaz comes in and starts. That's why we have Diogo Jota.
Yeah.
What's your instinct?
Well, my instincts would be that I think they will have somebody lined up if Mane goes. I think they're talking about 42.5 million, aren't they? So the way the club's been run, in all honesty, and you know, I bang on about recruitment. So the new head of recruitment, you would have thought, has got a list of players if Mane goes, a list of players if Salah goes, and that's just the way you've got to go, because you know if you're going to pay Salah and Mane absolute fortunes, then that's a real problem, because Van Dijk turns up at your door if you're the manager asking for a rise. The goalkeeper turns up at your door. And then it's like, well, you know, you've still got to run the football club. And in fairness, their football club is run absolutely brilliantly. And as you know, the number of players that they've bought between the kind of 30 to 40 million region is, well, it's just been absolute quality. They've already been good players, as everybody knows, but Klopp's made them into, well, to be honest with you, he's made them into world-class players. So they know they can do it, but occasionally you get it wrong. You know, the guy you bring in or the guys you bring in might not quite work, but that's the gamble that you take. But there's a bigger thing here, which is obviously, you know, the future of the football club. I mean, the Americans, they must be looking at, obviously, was it $4.25 billion Chelsea have been bought for?
Yeah.
The Americans must be looking and thinking, you know what? If this starts to go awry, we can sell it and we can walk away. But they've been, I think I've said to you before, they've been brilliant with the manager. They realise what they've got. They don't trouble him. I think they hardly ever even speak, only because they don't need to. They've got the chief executive, Liverpool, Billy, is American himself, and he runs the day-to-day, and he's very much switched on. And they've got a great thing going for them. It's just they only won two competitions out of four. Tough.
One last thing. The goal and Trent's role in the goal is something that he's going to be singled out for again and again. It's people look at Trent and they go, and they've decided, oh, he's a liability in defence. That they're somewhat in the Gareth Southgate camp. And then others look at Trent and go, on balance, he's one of the best players in the world in terms of efficiency at creating chances. And so, yeah, like, is that not just a ball game with Trent? Sometimes you're going to get, like, issues.
Yeah, you've got to, I think that's the way the manager looks at it. You know, he's very much, you take the rough with the smooth. But, he's not, he's just not switched on defensively, like, you know, 100%. So, and obviously he loves to go forward and play. I mean, his deliveries, we know, over the course of the season has been outstanding. I don't know if there's anyone who's better at that position. I don't. The boy at Chelsea is a top player as well. But yeah, you just have to take that. I think what the positive far outweighs the negative. And generally, you know, when he's played and Henderson's played, Henderson's kind of been the guy that kind of tucks in there. But everybody knew that it was going to be a problem with Vinicius, isn't it, Junior? So he's lightning quick, and that's how they got the goal. But look, at the end of the day, I mean, Liverpool should have scored 2, 3, or even 4. So, you've got to live with it. I mean, you know, in our era, we played with Alan Kennedy, and, you know, Alan Kennedy scored in all the major finals. But, you know, God love him, he wouldn't be one of our best players, but, you know, you could look after him. I mean, Hansen played alongside him more than me because I was like the right centre-back and Al was the left, and Alan Kennedy was obviously left-back. And we cope with it. And that's all that you do. So, you know, if you've got a left-back who's like going scoring, winning goals in cup finals, you then can't turn around and say, well, you know what, defensively he's a little bit iffy, because nobody's perfect, as we know.
And like that it kind of shows the line that we expect from top class defenders in the modern game as well, that, you know, he didn't do much else wrong throughout the game. Like, I thought in the FA Cup final he was excellent defensively, but I guess being good defensively, the attitude is, well, that's your job, you know, you don't get commended for it except when you make that one mistake.
Yeah, the only thing I would say now about that is, you know, the two fullbacks in Liverpool's game, in Liverpool, who play regularly, I mean, and I don't know, I've never looked at the stat. I would imagine they have more touches of the ball than nearly everybody in the side, apart maybe from Thiago on occasions. But, you know, so they are fullbacks, but basically they are wingbacks without the title, aren't they? 'Cause just, I mean, how many times do you see Trent crossing it into the box?
Yeah.
And who's on the left side trying to get in there but Robertson? So that's just the way that they play. And, you know, Klopp's a very intelligent guy, and he knows that occasionally they'll get found out. But they've had an outstanding season, really seriously have. And, you know, all credit to them, and all credit to the manager, because the other thing that he's done, not just winning the trophies, he's managed the group. And to manage the group and keep everybody happy is unbelievably difficult. I mean, Fergie started this off, didn't he? And I think I've said this to you before, but Fergie started this off at Manchester United, where he had a really good squad, say 18 to 20 players. And he would say to somebody, just say, I don't know, say it was a Phil Neville, say, Phil, you're not playing tomorrow on Saturday, but on Wednesday we've got a game and you're playing. And that way you keep everybody happy. You don't have anyone trying to break your door down saying, you know, why am I not playing? Mind you, no one would be wise enough to break Fergie's door down. But, you know, that's the thing with Klopp. And I think he's everybody's friend in terms of the players. You can tell that he is. And he is actually more than a manager to them. And that's why he is so good, because he's got this skill that a lot of other people in the game just do not have.
I know you were watching the game in Dublin, but did any of your mates have a bad experience at the game?
No, nobody. But my mates are a little bit different, because they were flying in private jets and all that kind of stuff. So they were all sorted. But I mean, that was, I don't know. I mean, somebody said to me, well, no wonder with the French, because of Brexit, because of Great Britain and Brexit and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, look, that's just, it's actually terrifying. I saw few of the interviews, the one with the dad and the lad, and the lad had one or two issues. I mean, he got sprayed as well. I mean, can you imagine, you know, being a father and that happening to your son? And he was only looked about 8 or 9, but yeah. I think the French were just like, you know, we're going to treat you our animals. We're going to treat you like animals. And typical UEFA, they change their story, don't they? And you know as well as I do that probably nothing will come out of this at all. But hey, that's UEFA for you. And I'm afraid that's the French. And I love going to France, but it's just, that's the way they are, isn't it?
Well, the French cops were the worst stereotypical French cops. They were pretty grim. Mark, great stuff. Yeah. Thanks a million for being with us. Cheers.
Thank you.
OTB AM with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.